This is James Throgmorton, and I'm speaking to you today about a subject that's on everybody's mind right now because we're right between Christmas and New Year's and the holiday season. And I know I operate a business. Everybody at this time of the year, they get this Christmas spirit and are really in a foul mood, and people don't have any money. We had a customer that came in a week or so ago, and they came in to pick up their order, and they were talking about how they were out of money. They didn't have any money. They just spent $600 on additional Christmas lights. Now, this is silly. This makes no sense at all. Yeah, Christmas lights are pretty. In fact, I want to talk a little about Christmas lights. You know, Bible tells us that, if you want to believe the Bible, and some of us do, that Satan has deceived the whole world, that the whole world is deceived. And Satan, and, you know, people have a tendency to blame everything on Satan, but the Bible does tell us that Satan is the god of this world. And so we need to understand that there is deception. There is deception out there. Jesus Christ himself, and if, you know, people claim to believe in Christ, that's what Christmas is supposed to be. Well, it actually means Christ's Mass. You know, a Catholic Mass to commemorate Christ's birth. Christ wasn't born on December the 25th. Not at all. And we'll talk about that a little later. But Christ's Mass, what does that have to do with buying gifts at Walmart and Kmart and all the other stores, if you're not on the lower echelons of American society, where we trade at Walmart and Kmart. But people spend all this money on something that is a religious holiday. Now, the secular world that doesn't want God's name even mentioned sort of tries to get around that and says it's not a religious holiday. Yeah, it is. But it goes back further than the Catholic Church. It goes a lot further than the time of Christ's life. It goes back into ancient paganism a religious system that was contrary to God completely. And that God, if you believe his word, literally hates. It's not something that you do to please God. And so people are wrapped up in it because how intriguing it is. Like I say, the whole world has been deceived. Christ said that wide and straight is the path that leads to destruction. I would imagine that the deceives will be destroyed. So that the Bible does tell us that is a possibility for them. So the path that leads to destruction is wide. The road, the interstate going to destruction is wide and straight. And that's where everybody's going to go. Because human beings follow the crowd. Everybody wants to fit in and follow the crowd. And he said, narrow and crooked is the path that leads to salvation or to life. And I'm paraphrasing this. And few be they that find it, because few be they that want to really believe God, have confidence in God, to prove his existence, to prove the authenticity of his word. And if you don't do that, you'd be silly to believe it. You'd be absolutely silly to believe it if you can't prove it. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence. Something you have to be able to get a hold of. And that's what I'm talking about today. There's plenty of evidence on this. And listen, what can be wrong? People ask themselves. Christmas is family oriented. The beautiful Christmas music, the beautiful lights, they are beautiful. They appeal to all the human carnal senses. And what can be wrong with family? You know, there's a scripture, and again, I'm going to read this one, that something that Jesus Christ said about family, and it's over in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and verse 37. You have to be able to put God and His commands ahead of family. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. You got a red letter Bible, it's in red letters. And so, are you willing to make that commitment to God, that you would put nothing before Him? God requires that. God requires that. Now, you can reason around that, and you can do like I had an acquaintance one time that had understood the truth at one time, but he had a really conflict in his family, and when he had children and grandchildren, and it was more important to him that they be cheerleaders and violate the Sabbath than it was that they have the understanding of the truth of God and actually have the opportunity to qualify to be in the first resurrection. I'm getting off on another subject here, but something you need to understand. What would you do to be able to give your children an extra 1,000 years of life if you had the power to do that? Well, if you're converted and have the Spirit of God, you actually have the potential to have that power. You don't have totally control of it, but you have an opportunity. And he preferred that his children be cheerleaders, and they go ahead and get to keep Christmas and Halloween. And by the way, I don't think most people realize that next to Christmas, Halloween is the holiday, and it is a religious holiday. It's based on ancient paganism. It is the holiday that people spend more money on in the United States of America than anything except Christmas. And so many businesses wouldn't even survive if it wasn't for their Christmas business, because you hear that on the news all the time about how big the Christmas business is for businesses. And so it is embedded into society, and particularly American society. It is embedded. It's embedded in the school. It's embedded into the government. You know, I go to where I live. You could look on the county courthouse, and you'd see a big sign that says "Happy Holidays" out there. And yet, because the people that don't believe in God and don't want anything to do with God at all want to sort of take that part of Christmas out so they can continue to do it and so they can continue to promote it, because in this country there's a division there between the pseudo-religious and the non-religious. And I say pseudo-religious because they're not really religious, because they haven't been willing to put God's command first. If they had, they'd all be keeping the Sabbath. because that is plain and simple of the fourth commandment. You can dance around all day, and you can't take that one out of there. And that's the one because I am a Sabbath keeper. Well, you know, I get mailed literature from time to time, letters from other churches, and because I'm a minister in a Sabbath keeping organization. They seem to feel that it's their duty. I got a nice full color slick magazine this last week that dealt strictly with the subject of not being bound by the commandments, but the only commandment they were concerned about was the seventh-day Sabbath. Why? Can you answer why? Any of you people that might be listening to this that don't keep the Sabbath, can you understand why they would not be concerned about adultery or murder? Everybody, you know, in mainstream America, they don't believe in murder. You know, I had an opportunity to be on a jury not long ago that convicted, and I was an alternate, but I got to listen to all the testimony and everything, and the man had murdered four people. And they convicted him, gave him the death penalty. People don't believe in murder. You don't believe in stealing, particularly if they steal from you. And you don't like somebody to lie to you about it, about things. Oh, you know, lying's one of human weaknesses. Everybody recognizes that all those commandments are good. Everybody ought to honor their father and mother. Nobody would argue those commandments. Nobody would tell you that Paul did away with all those commandments. And, you know, those of you that are listening on the web, you might go over to the sermon about Pauline theology and listen to it, because it explains all that. It explains it all. But what I want to do today is I want to talk about the origin of this holiday a little bit. And I'm not going to give a lot of detail, because I think we've got an article on our website that you can read and give you the background. If you don't want to read it off our website, just go get an encyclopedia and look it up. You know, Christ wasn't born on December the 25th. December the 25th is an ancient pagan holiday, heathen holiday, where people celebrated the birth or the rebirth of the sun god. Because it was the December the 25th is about the first day that you can actually see that the sun begins to set a little bit later, and the days begin to get longer. Because ancient heathen, pagans, ignorant people believed that they kept this day to appease the sun god. And they actually did it by sacrificing their children and then giving gifts. That's where a lot of that came from. And that's all available. I'm not going to go through that today. Like I say, our website covers a lot of that, and there's a lot of information. There's books and books and books on it. And people know this. But they say, well, we decided, or the ancient church decided, to do it in honor of Christ. Well, I'll tell you, the ancient church, or you, or no one else, has the authority to change God's laws. You know, it talks about that in the book of Daniel, of people that are a religious entity that is so arrogant that it would think that it could change God's laws, to think change times and laws. You don't have the authority to do that. You think you do, you're in for a good surprise. You're in for a good surprise. I want to turn to Jeremiah 10, because this is a place in the Bible that people go that are students of the Bible to counter the Christmas tree. And like I say, The Bible talks about these green trees in quite a few places. In fact, we have a long article on the website. I think it's probably in two parts. The good old time religion, and it goes back and it really covers this of where anciently they sacrificed their children, their firstborn children. When God brought Israel out of captivity in Egypt, he killed the Egyptian firstborn. A lot of people don't realize that in doing that, he took away all their sacrificial offerings to the sun god. And then he claimed the firstborn, and still does in that sense, as his, so that Israel wouldn't be tempted to sacrifice their firstborn. Almighty God is not stupid like human beings are. He is not stupid. But what I want to talk about today is over in Jeremiah the 10th chapter. And yeah, this does talk about the Christmas tree. But to all of you that understand this and know this, I want to bring out today that it talks about much more than the Christmas tree. That the Christmas tree is not the real subject of Jeremiah 10. And I'm going to read a lot of this, because I can't say anything that's an improvement on the raw Word of God. Hear the word of the Eternal. Hear the words which the Eternal speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Eternal, do not learn the way of the heathen, or if you've got a newer translation, it may say Gentiles, which tones it down a little too much. The word pagan certainly goes in there very appropriately, but heathen's a good word. I think that's what the King James uses, and I don't think you can improve on that, because that's what anybody that is contrary to God is. They're heathen. That's really what the word means. Uncivilized. Do not be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, for the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are futile. They're vanity. They're worthless. Customs that people establish are futile. That's what God says about it. You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to interrupt myself here in a moment, that human beings, like I mentioned earlier, they just do what other human beings do. If it was part of culture, part of a social standard in this country for women to put cow manure in their hair, they would all put cow manure in their hair. For the customs of the people are futile, are vain. They're worthless. They don't accomplish anything. You know, if it was custom for people to do certain things, they would do it. You know, we talk about culture, and culture, basically the standards of culture is whatever people say it will be. Because if you live in one culture, you don't feel bad about doing anything. If it was part of the culture's practice to sacrifice their firstborn children, they did it. If it was part of the culture, and this might offend somebody, but I'm sorry, it's the truth. If it was part of the culture for women to put cow manure in their hair, they would put cow manure in their hair, and there's societies that do that. And so, but it's part of culture, and so what people do is completely irrelevant to God. Because that's what the Bible is. It's about God's religion and about God's way of doing things. It's not about man's way of doing things. And then it goes on in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter and verse 3. And it says, for one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe, They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree. They cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Okay. There's no doubt that this is what people do. Do you ever have any idea how much money? Talk about starving children and how we have the homeless and all sorts of needs for charities and everything. But you ever think how much they spend on trees? Just Christmas trees? And of course, today most of them are artificial, but not all of them. And the environmentalists are trying to move in that direction, and that's okay. But it doesn't make any difference. It's still can't do anything. And so no doubt in the evidence that here in the Bible, in a book that was written millennia ago by the prophet Jeremiah, under inspiration from God, if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, then how accurate it is last week, or how accurate it'll be next year at this time of the year. And then I've seen people that there's a couple more verses here that I'm going to read, or part of the fifth verse that I'm going to read, because they read through this and say, well, it doesn't make any difference then, because they read these words. Actually involved a lot more than just the Christmas tree. It involved the phallic symbols that were setting up in ancient pagan worships. And you can read about this in some of the articles and things that I referred to earlier. But it says, don't be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. And people read that and say, oh, see, it's harmless. I've had people do that. You show them that scripture and say, hey, that's not what it's saying here. You gotta get all the facts. You got to get all the facts about it, because what this is telling us, if you go back and look at these heathens' practices, and the reason they was doing this was out of fear, because they had been taught in their religion, in their culture, that if they didn't do it, the God would curse them. That this false God would curse them, or if they did do it, it would bless them. And what Jeremiah is saying here, hey, don't be afraid of them. They can't bless you, or they can't curse you. They can't do any bad to you. They can't do any good to you. They're just a dumb piece of wood. That's all it's telling you. And then in Jeremiah 10, we go on to the real subject, the part that most people don't pay any attention to again. And that's the way people are with Bibles. Preachers like to get up and say, my text for today is, and read one or two verses, and then go off and do whatever they want to do. Well, we could spend all the rest of the 10th chapter, and we're going to read some of it. I won't have time to read it all. I hope you'll read it all. But it deals with God. It deals with God and why you should listen to God and not a dumb piece of wood. And yeah, the Christmas tree and Christmas is an idol in modern American society and basically around the world in these so-called pseudo-Christian churches. It is an idol. And that's what Jeremiah 10 is about idolatry. And about a false religion. You know, when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, when He did that, He told them not to copy the religions of the world around them. You know, I mentioned earlier fellow that I knew that was more interested in his children being able to keep Christmas than he was in teaching them the truth and those things. He later came to a point where he would do what all intellectuals try to do, because I guess he considered himself smarter than us dumb old people that just believed in trying to do what God said and trying not to do what he said not to do. But he would scoff at it, because that's what people do when they don't have any facts. They scoff at it, and he would belittle those people of God that were being obedient to God by making comments about the pagans, about the dumb pagans, and actually scoffing at the people that believed them. Somehow we were being insulting to these people that did all this idol worship. Scoffing at it, because when you don't have the facts to disprove something, that's all you can do. You can laugh at it, or you can scoff at it, and you can ignore it. But it's a pretty dumb ploy. This same person one time sent me and my wife an email that after he had decided to give the truth up, that he said, well, most Christians keep Halloween. Straight and wide is the path that leads to destruction, and that's where most everybody's going to go. Most so-called Christians keep Christmas. Wide and straight is the path that leads to destruction. Do you have enough regards for Jesus Christ to listen to what he had to say? Or do you want to just go along with what mom and dad said? You know, my mom died at 92 about 3 months ago, getting ready to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. When I first stopped keeping Christmas, my mom didn't like it any more than probably your mom would like it. I'm talking to people that haven't done this before, done it when you do it the first time. She didn't like it, but she did check into it. And if she's still alive, she'd be more adamant in telling you about it nearly than I am, because she realized it was wrong. So what your mom and dad teach you is not always right. You got to go back and get your information from your real dad, from God, from the ultimate source of all knowledge. And I'm not standing here claiming that I know everything there. I don't, but I've spent a lot of years, and when I see what God wants his creation to do, then I want to try to do it. Let's look in the sixth verse, in the little bit of time I have left. Let's look in the sixth verse of Jeremiah 10 and begin to read where the rest of this book deals with God and who he is and why you should be concerned about him, because God can bless you or curse you. I can't, preachers can't, church organizations can't, God can, society can't, dumb idols can't. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Eternal, and I will mention to everybody that's not familiar with it, I am substituting the word eternal for Lord, because that's the word that Moffat uses in his translation, and is a better description of God. When Moses asked God who he was, what his name was, basically God said, I am that I am. I'm the ever-existing one. I am always in the present tense. And so eternal is a good English, modern English word that all of us understand. And so that's who God is. He is the eternal one. He is the almighty one. He's the everlasting one. He is the I am. You are great, and your name is mighty. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. You know, we talked about some of these things earlier today that's not on this recording, those of us in this room, but I won't have time to go into those things today. But God is all-powerful. He is in control of everything. If He's God, if He's not in control of everything, then He's not God. You know, people don't realize that. They just don't realize that. You know, I saw a movie not long ago, and I don't necessarily give stamp of approval to all the movies out there today, but there's one once in a while that comes along that's amusing and funny, and this was the Almighty about, and it certainly wasn't designed to be biblically accurate or anything, but it did have a point in there. It made a good point that the vast part of the human race doesn't understand. And Morgan Freeman made a good point of it when he was trying to simulate God, and this point was true. Because people ask, why do all these bad things happen? Why do all these things happen to human beings? Why are there all sorts of disasters and wars and illnesses and all sorts of things? And he said, well, he said what the Bible says. It was an accurate statement. It was biblical. I gave you free choice. God allows free moral agency. If He didn't allow you and me to goof up, then bad things wouldn't happen to us. If the first time you had too much alcohol and started to get drunk, He sent an angel down and jerked the bottle out of your hand, you wouldn't get drunk. First time you went to your mouth with a cigarette, you wouldn't later have lung cancer because you smoked, or emphysema or something else. If a murderer started to shoot somebody, angel came down and grabbed the gun out of their hand, wouldn't be any murders. But there wouldn't be free moral agency. You'd be an automaton. God's working out a plan. He's reproducing Himself. And He has to create in mankind character like His. And He will do it. It'll take a lot of millennia to do. We're probably getting pretty close to the end of that process, but even after the return of Jesus Christ, it'll take at least another 1,000+ years before God brings all mankind in submission, where they recognize who He is, recognize His religion, do things His way, learn things His way, and not the world's way. Once that happens, then God's going to succeed. God doesn't fail. He just does it in ways that human beings are too dumb to understand. I'm sorry. There's no other word I can use. For among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether dull-hearted and foolish. A wooden idol is worthless doctrine. It's a worthless teaching. You see, this is talking about something more than the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is something that has been age-lasting. It's come down so long, predates Christ a long time. Christ wasn't born on December the 25th. If you just look at the Bible and the Christmas story about the shepherds in the field and everything, shepherds wouldn't have been in the field on December the 25th. They would have already brought the sheep in. There's a lot of historical things you can look at. The Romans also taxed people during the annual festivals and holidays and holy days. That wasn't December the 25th. That was back earlier in the year, September, October. Again, that's another subject. Let's look in verse 9. Silver is beaten into plates. It is brought from Tarshish, and the gold and the work of craftsmen and the hands of metalsmith. Blue, purple are their clothing. They are the work of skillful men. But the Eternal is the true God. He is the living God, the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure His indignation. And there will come a time of indignation. It's called the time of the end. It's called the tribulation. Even on TV they like to talk about it now. Armageddon is one of the events of that. It's actually a culminating event of it. And you hear people talking about it, and you see TV programs on it and specials, and everybody telling you what Notre Dame said about it and this and that, which is a little bit amusing, because everybody knows, I guess, that doomsday is out there somewhere, that there's going to come a day of reckoning sometime. You know, when Christ dealt with demons, and again, that's a different subject, in His gospel, they were all asking Him, hey, it's not time yet. It's not time when You deal with us yet. Because they know there is a day of judgment coming for them. And a time of when the punishment's going to be dished out for their rebellion. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom. He has stretched out the heaven at His discretion. When He utters His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heaven. He caused the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes the lightning for the rain, and He brings the wind out of His treasures. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Boy, isn't that true? Even though knowledge is increased, we've learned so much. Man, I saw the statistics and used them in a sermon three years ago of how long it took man to double his fund of knowledge, and now I think it's doubling in about every 10 years. Doubling in about every 10 years. When He utters His voice, there is a multitude of water in the heaven. He causes the vapor to ascend from the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings wind out of the treasures. I repeated myself there. I apologize. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. For they are futile, a work of errors, a time of their punishment, they shall perish. And it goes on in verse 16 of Jeremiah 10, it says, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for He is a maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of His inheritance. And we get off into a subject that, and this is not racist. A lot of people would try to say it is, but God called the nation of Israel and brought them out of Egypt for a purpose that they have not fulfilled yet. Christ is going to reunify Israel and take them back to Jerusalem, and from there propagate His kingdom out to the world. Again, we're getting on a lot of different subjects today that there's certainly not time to cover, and I don't have time to go on further. I would really like to read all of Jeremiah 10, because Jeremiah 10, yeah, It mentions the Christmas tree and other idols, but the Christmas tree is a side. It's a side issue. Jeremiah 10 is really about God and His power, and that He is the only God, and there is no other God except that God, the one God. And it's a God family in that sense. It has two members, God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. And it has potential because Christ was the firstborn of many brethren. So there's potential for growth. In fact, all human beings that are really saved, nobody's been saved yet. Nobody. May have been converted, but you're not saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You're saved when you come up in a resurrection as a spirit being. That's when God saves you and going to keep you. It's not decided He's going to keep you yet. You're me or any of the rest of it. That's what saved means. You don't get thrown in a trash can. That's what Gehenna is. It's a trash dump out back of Jerusalem. That's it. You get put in the garbage. And that, again, that's a story in itself. But what we're saying, don't listen to people. Don't listen to preachers. Don't listen to me. If you can't get your encyclopedias out and do a little research and prove it, and if you can't take the Word of God, if you can't take the Ten Commandments and see what they say to do and be willing to listen to God, it'd be futile for me to talk to you. Futile for anybody else to talk to you. Time will come, God will talk to you. You'll hear it too. You'll hear it because God is God. There is none other. He is the eternal, the everlasting God. He's not something that man came up with in their feeble imagination. This has been James Throckmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.